Good afternoon. Thank you for your patience. The Secretary General will brief you on the outcome of the NATO-Russia Council today, and then he'll be happy to take a few questions. Secretary General.
Good afternoon. I have just chaired a meeting of the NATO-Russia Council, and we all agree that it is in all our interest to keep political channels for political dialogue open. Political dialogue among nations that share the same Euro-Atlantic area is both necessary and useful, especially in times of tensions as we experience now. However, this does not mean that that we are back to business as usual. We discussed three important topics during our meeting. The crisis in and around Ukraine, issues related to military activities, transparency and risk reduction, and an assessment of the security situation in Afghanistan, including regional terrorist threats. We had a frank and serious discussion. NATO allies and Russia hold very different views. But we have listened to what each of us have to say. Let me start with the situation in Ukraine. Because Russia's actions against Ukraine are led to the current state of our relations. NATO allies made clear that they stand firm in their support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Allies do not recognize Russia's illegal annexation of Crimea. We stressed that the increase in ceasefire violations in eastern Ukraine in recent days is deeply disturbing, as are the recent incidents targeting OSCE monitors. All 29 members of the NATO-Russia Council agreed today on the need for a full and rapid implementation of the Minsk agreements. The signatories to the agreements must comply with their commitments, and Russia has a significant responsibility in this regard. The respect for the right for every nation to choose their own security arrangements is a fundamental principle on which the NATO-Russia Council rests. This must be observed both in words and in deeds. We also discussed transparency and risk reduction. We have a responsibility to ensure predictability, confidence and stability across our region. The armed forces of every nation and every military alliance have the right to exercise. But in recent years, allies have seen a decrease in transparency in military activities, combined with an increase in military activity and forces and strong rhetoric. This is a dangerous combination. NATO allies expressed concern about our last week's incidents in the Baltic region involving Russian military aircraft. It is important to consider what steps we can all take to increase transparency and predictability. In the OSCE, all NATO allies and Russia have agreed on rules governing military activities in Europe, including the observation and notification of exercises. Those rules must be respected. The NATO-Russia Founding Act recognized that strengthening the OSCE will prevent any possibility of returning to a Europe of division and confrontation. A number of NATO nations have tabled concrete proposals on how to modernize the Vienna document on military transparency. It is important that everyone participates constructively in that work. More military transparency can contribute to more security in Europe. This is in both NATO's and Russia's interests. We also addressed Afghanistan. The Afghan security forces are facing a challenging security environment, but they are capable and they are dedicated. NATO remains committed to supporting them. All nations should do their part to support Afghanistan in reaching its goal of stability and security. NATO and Russia have profound and persistent disagreements. Today's meeting did not change that. NATO allies remain firm that there can be no return to practical cooperation until Russia returns to the respect of international law. But we will keep channels of communication open. Especially when tensions are high, political dialogue is necessary to discuss our differences and to reduce the risk of military incidents. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
We'll go to Associated Press at the back.
Secretary General, judging by your last remark there, is it fair to say that today's meeting did not lead to an improvement in relations between NATO and Russia? And in more detail, were there any agreements made as to further meetings of the NATO-Russia Council or concrete steps that could be taken to reduce tensions? Thank you.
The NATO-Russia Council was never suspended, so I expect that we are going to meet again. We didn't decide on any schedule for a next meeting, but since we never suspended the Council, I expect that we will meet again. I think we had a very frank, serious, and actually good meeting. Not because we agreed, but because we were able to exchange views, to listen to each other, and thereby being able to contribute to a better ability to talk to each other, which I think is of particular importance when times are difficult as they are now. And in particular, I think we had a very useful and frank exchange of views, related to transparency, predictability, and the importance of risk reductions, and the importance of keeping channels for military lines of communication open. And I think the relevance and importance of that has been highlighted by the incidents we have seen in the Baltic region last week.
Itatas.
Denis Dubrovin, TASS News Agency. Mr. Secretary General, do you genuinely believe that now it's possible at the same time to deter Russia and to cooperate with it? Thank you.
We have suspended practical cooperation between NATO and Russia, but we decided that we will keep channels for political dialogue open, and that's exactly what we have proven today, that we are able to sit down, talk, exchange views, and because we disagree and because there are difficulties, I found it even more important that we sit down and meet in meetings like the meeting we had today in the NATO-Russia Council. Then let me underline that deterrence is not about fighting a war, but it is about preventing conflict. The reason why NATO has always been focused on the importance of strong deterrence is not because you want to fight the war, but it is because you want to prevent war and prevent conflict. And I also very strongly believe that there is no contradiction between strong defense and political dialogue. I have stated again and again that the foundation for political dialogue is strength and predictability, and that's the message also from NATO today.
Reuters.
Thank you, Secretary General. How do you believe the Minsk process can move forward when there are such disagreements? What steps would you like to see be taken? Thank you.
During the meeting, it was reconfirmed that we disagree, both when it comes to the facts, the narratives, and the responsibilities for the crisis in and around Ukraine. Many allies also conveyed a very strong message that we disagree when Russia tried to portray this as a civil war. This is Russia destabilizing eastern Ukraine, providing support for the separatists, ammunition, funding, equipment, and also command and control. So there were profound disagreements related to the crisis in Ukraine. But we agreed on the importance of full and rapid implementation of the Minsk agreements, meaning respecting the ceasefire, withdrawal of heavy weapons, and also, of course, full access for the international monitors to monitor the situation on the ground. And I think it is important that this is a clear message and is something which we agree on. And then, of course, we have to be able to see that this is not only something which is stated in meetings, but also then implemented on the ground. And Russia has a special responsibility because Russia continues to support the separatists in eastern Ukraine.
Channel 1, Russia.
Mr. Secretary General, could you please comment? This meeting was much more longer than you planned before. Why it was so? And the second question, the main question, could you please comment? If NATO considers Russia to be an opposing side, and if doesn't so, then why NATO has increased military presence in Western Union? Thank you so much.
The meeting was longer than planned, and that reflects that the meeting was a meeting where we had a frank, serious discussion about several important topics. Topics which are of importance for all NATO allies and for Russia. The crisis in and around Ukraine is, of course, something which is important for all of us. Military activity, transparency, predictability is important. We have seen that after the incidents in the Baltic Sea last week. And, of course, the situation in Afghanistan is also related to our efforts to fight terrorism and to increase the security of all our nations. Everything NATO does, and also, of course, in the Baltic region, is proportionate, it's defensive, and it's fully in line with our international commitments. And what we are doing is that we are responding to the substantial military buildup of Russia. And we have to remember that what NATO has done in the Baltic region with some increased military presence is a response to the illegal annexation of Crimea and Russia's destabilizing behavior in eastern Ukraine. So our military, NATO's increased military presence in the Baltic region happened 6 months after the illegal annexation of Crimea. So there can be no doubt that the facts and the order of when different things happened confirms that what NATO has done is a response to the actions of Russia in Ukraine.
Polish television.
Dominika Czasic from Polish television. I have one question according also to Baltic region and to transparency. What can be answer of NATO of Russia if it will be more incidents like recently?
Our focus now is to prevent that kind of incidents. And we are doing that partly by stressing the importance of using existing channels of military-to-military communications. We would like to see that they are used much more. Second, we are now working with other European nations within the framework of OSCE in Vienna to try to modernize the different documents, the different agreements, which facilitates different kinds of confidence-building measures, transparency, predictability related to military activity. So what we are doing now is that we are calling on all members of the OSCE to be constructive and to modernize these documents, including the Vienna document. And I hope that we can make progress during this year so we can have better, more updated and more efficient agreements related to how we can reduce the risks of that kind of incidents that we saw in the Baltic Sea. If that kind of incidents happen again, then we need even more transparency, predictability and lines of communications, political and military lines of communications, to prevent that they spiral out of control and create really dangerous situations.
Thank you very much. That's all we have time for. Thank you.
One there.
One there, okay. NPR has one last question over there.
But unfortunately, I'm going to pick up on your last comment. You said that you think that even more lines of communication would be the answer if you see more incidents like this. There are these existing mechanisms. There are these existing lines of communication. What assurances do you have from Russia that they are going to respect that? Because this has been going on since long before Syria, now just exacerbated. Are you sorry you called on me? Thanks.
No, but that's one of the reasons I think that these kind of meetings are important, because we stressed very much, or we underlined strongly in the meeting, the importance of both using existing lines of communications, existing mechanisms for risk reductions, which are not used to the extent we would like them to be used today. But in addition, I think also there is a need for improving different agreements and different mechanisms, for instance, the Vienna document, because many things has changed. We have increased military presence. We have other kinds of military capabilities now than when we agreed the Vienna document for the first time. So I think we should also modernize the document and, of course, also then use the kind of meetings we had today to underline the importance of using the lines.
Thank you very much.